I was thrilled when Pastor John called a couple of weeks ago and said that he just can't stay here in Mitchell while there's work that needs to be done down in Houston. And you know your pastor, he's not one to just sit around and do nothing when there's an opportunity. And he said, I have a chance to go, but I need someone to preach. Would you be willing? And I looked at my calendar. I said, sure, I'll preach. And I said, it'll tie in really well because as one of my areas that I'm very involved with and passionate about is a missions giving opportunity that's called Speed the Light that maybe you've heard about. And Speed the Light through Convoy of Hope is making a huge difference in places right now like Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico and Mexico, where they just went through some very serious earthquakes. And so we in the Assemblies of God are about worship and discipleship and evangelism, but we're also about compassion and showing the love of Jesus through acts of compassion and acts of service. And so I know that's where your pastor has been for the last week, and I think he has another week to go. And I know that he's going to be sharing great reports when he returns. It's great to have my family here, and I think my wife just stepped out to get one of our kids off to the amazing kids ministry, but Aaliyah and Allison are hanging out there, and Jennifer and the rest of our boys are spread out throughout the building somewhere. Thank you for providing ministry to children, to the next generation, because that's where ours are right now. Well, we're going to get into the scripture here in just a moment, and if you have brought a Bible with you and you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, you can do so, because we're going to be jumping in there pretty soon. But before we do that, I want to take you back a couple of years, maybe about 30 to be exact. So I just celebrated a little bit of a milestone in my life. In August, it was the big 40. I know, it doesn't look like it. You can act amazed and shocked, and that'll make me feel really good. But I'm 40. I'm 40 now. And, you know, I feel like I took it in stride, you know, you know, some people really have a hard time with that. You're only as old as you feel, right? Or, in some of your cases, as old as you act. So we're doing a little get together at the office. They put on a little party and a lunch and invited a few friends and our family, and we were there it was nice, and we were just kind of sharing memories. And then one of my kids just kind of rams me back into reality and says, "Hey Dad, guess what? You're like halfway to dead." And I thought, well, that really wasn't, I was trying to view him as more of, you know, experienced or mature, but she said, no, yeah, I heard that the average life expectancy is like 78, and well, you're past halfway there. Like, thanks, and there goes her inheritance. But anyway, no. So I've got 40 years behind me, but I want to take you back 30 years to 1987, and I'm about 9 years old. And I had just finished up fourth grade at Francis Case Elementary in Box Elder, South Dakota. And the fourth grade year was very memorable for me. I think it was because I really enjoyed my teacher. Can anybody remember who their fourth grade teacher was? A few of you? Okay, mine was Mrs. Calvin. And what I remember is that she was such an amazing teacher, and then she decided to go and have a baby, and then she left like halfway through the year, and we got, you know, some substitute. But I enjoyed fourth grade, probably because I was kind of the top of my class. I was making good grades, and I had been getting A's and B's on my report cards for the first three quarters. Well, the fourth quarter rolled around, and I think my dad saw an opportunity to maybe nudge me a little bit, maybe a little bit of motivation to finally get all A's, right? The ultimate goal for the elementary kid and the report card, all A's. Could I do it? I didn't know. But my dad said, if you do it, I will give you $50. Well, $50 today is, if I came up and offered to give any of you $50, I doubt there's many that would turn me down. But $50 30 years ago to a 9-year-old was a fortune, right? I thought he was kind of messing with me, you know, is this like a trick to get me to do my schoolwork? But No, he was serious. So we came to pick up the last report card. It was a few days after school was out. And I walked, drove over to the school with him. We walked into the office, and they were handing out the report cards. My dad grabbed it first. He looked at it, but he had this stoic look. You know, he wasn't going to give it away. And he just looks at it, and he's like, And then he hands it to me. And I pull it out, and I remember just kind of pulling it out of the side, and I could see down the right-hand side, fourth quarter, A, all the way down. I did it. I was pretty excited, always. Only time it ever happened. But it happened in fourth grade. Well, as luck would have it, you know, I grew up on the military base there in Box Elder, outside of Rapid City, and everything was kind of nice and close together, kind of like living in a small town. And so right after we went to the school, the next place we went was the credit union. We were cashing in this report card, so we rolled up to the counter, my dad said, "I'd like to withdraw $50. It's for my son." And then the teller behind the counter offered me this question, which I wasn't quite expecting. She said, "How do you want it?" And I'm like, I just want it. I don't know. Well, she said, how do you want this broken up? Okay. Let's think about that. A nice shiny, crisp $50 bill would be great, but that would be hard to spend. I think I would want to, frame that and put it on the wall or something. Maybe I could do some tens, five tens, or a couple twenties and some fives. So being the exceptional fourth grader that I was, I did what any child would do. I requested 5,000 pennies. No, I didn't. I did not request 5,000 pennies. I requested $51 bills. I said, "Could you do that?" She said, "Sure, 51s. So she begins to count them out and pile them up right there. And I was a little shorter back then, and I'm just seeing these $1 bills piling up. I'm getting excited because, right, when you're a kid, it's all about the amount of paper. It's not what's on the paper, right? You think if you've got more paper, you've got a lot. So I figured I was really raking it in that day. So she handed me my 51s, and to me it was a fortune. It was a fortune. And I was on top of the world. And my parents didn't even, they didn't hold any of it back. They said, "Here you go. That's yours. Do what you want with it." Whoa. Now, I do kind of remember Mom saying something like, "Why don't you put a little bit of that away and save it for something you really want?" But what I heard was, "Why don't you go down to the local base exchange and see how you can blow it really fast?" Because there were two things at that base exchange that was just mere yards from the credit union. Because that's where I went next. And there was a quarter arcade, and there was a candy section. And I was a 9-year-old boy with $51 bills. So you can imagine that didn't last very long. I'm not sure how long the money lasted. Probably maybe 7 days, maybe 10 days. But I can tell you this. I had, after it was all said and done, I had nothing to show. Had nothing to show for my straight A's. Well, maybe I did have something to show. Probably the need for a good dental cleaning. But that was about it. But it was a pretty fun week. But in the end, I remember so vividly, after my spending spree, just thinking, wow, where did it all go? $50 for some temporary fun. And then poof, it was gone. Think with me for a moment about a time in your life when you received an unexpected blessing. Maybe it was in the form of cash. Maybe it was in the form of a gift. Maybe it was some property. Maybe it was an inheritance. Maybe somebody in front of you at the drive-through lane paid for your order. We've all experienced unexpected blessings. How did you respond in that moment? If you can think back, how did you respond? Was it an enjoyable experience? Did you decide to keep all of that for yourself, or did you think about maybe there would be an opportunity to do something with that? Did you spend it on stuff that was meaningful, or was it spent on stuff that in the long run maybe really didn't matter? Hopefully, unlike 9-year-old me, you found a way to invest in ways that would make a difference. By the way, when I received that, this is what, I don't know what I looked like with those $1 bills, but I imagined something like this. But I also remember that I was thinking all about me. And it was a good lesson that I needed in realizing that I could have done more than what I had done with that $50. The scripture that we're going to look at today describes how we should live for God in a way that is outward and externally focused versus inward or internally focused. You see, the possessions that we accumulate and the wants and the needs that we feed in this life, they help to cultivate a self-centered way of living. If we're not careful, we can get really caught up in that really quick, can't we? But Jesus teaches in a way and helps us, if we will take his teaching and apply it to our lives, we realize that his teaching, his way of living is one that is kingdom-centered, not centered on self-fulfillment. Because when it's all about the individual, it's about me and my needs, but when we're living in a way that's focused on the kingdom, we are concerned more about what will matter in eternity. And the thought that I want us to consider this morning is simply this, and scripture is going to show us that our heart follows treasure. And when we talk about the heart, we're talking about the will and the mind and our emotions and our desires. That ultimately those things, they follow where our treasure is. And when it comes to stuff, when it comes to possessions, the Bible is clear about a lot of things. We could read a lot in Scripture about what it means to have things and to be stewards, but the Bible's clear about these principles first. Number one, everything that we have is God's. Everything that we have is His. And it's so easy for us to forget that. Or to start to believe that, hey, I earned this. I did the hard work for this. But then we have to remember that God is the one who enables. He's the one who provides the work or provides the opportunity. The Bible says that we are managers, that we are, and we are temporary managers at that. We are not owners. Even though we have certificates of ownership and titles of ownership, we are owners to others in this world, but God owns it all. The Bible also says that the accumulation of treasure is connected to the affections of our hearts. And lastly, the Bible says that those who manage well receive a greater reward. If we manage well, Scripture is clear that God will take care of the reward. So our Scripture that we're going to read, that I want us to ponder for a few moments, is in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 19 to 21. And it's perhaps a familiar portion of Scripture. It's from the section of Scripture that is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, and he reminds the believers, the followers in that day, do not lay up treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heart follows treasure. Matthew chapter 6, again, it's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it's telling us how to live a life devoted to God and how it will look when it comes to right living in God's kingdom. So it's kind of, it's a very practical application for what it means to believe, to be a follower of Christ. And it's, Jesus goes into qualities and characteristics that if we are followers of Christ, if we are lovers of the Lord and seeking to obey and do His will, that this is what we should look like. And so there's themes throughout this entire chapter, chapter 6, themes like giving to those in need and what it looks like when you fast and pray. Themes like what we just read about where your treasure is. What do you look at? What do you desire? And the chapter finishes up and it's reminding us with all of this, don't worry. And there's interesting, there's a series of statements that are prefaced by the words do not. And Jesus is giving examples of what not to do, and He's talking about the hypocrites, He's talking about pretenders or deceivers or liars who do these things, and He's saying, don't be one of those people. He says, do not give to the needy with a trumpet. He says, don't announce it. Don't make a show out of your giving. He says, do not pray with words that are just empty repetition. Because God's not impressed by all of our words. He says, do not pray in order to seek the attention of others. He says, don't make it intentionally obvious when you're fasting that is between you and God, and not to be an outward show. And He says, do not store up treasure on earth. I see a common thread in all of these, that they are selfish, they're self-centered, they are for attention. One author said this about this passage of Scripture: righteous conduct that is endorsed by God must be visible so that God may be glorified. It must be visible in a way to glorify God, yet it must never be visible in order to win the applause of man. And Jesus is challenging the people in that day, and it's very applicable to us today. Are you living in a way that is for the glory of God or for the applause of man? The results, if we do as God asks, are in verse 4 in chapter 6, reward. Verse 6 talks about reward. Verse 14 talks about forgiveness. Reward again in verse 18. And again in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and He will take care of all of your needs. He will take care of the reward. But if we seek earthly things first, they will not last. And so I guess the point that we need to consider, the question that we have to ask is, will we live our lives in a manner that leaves a favorable imprint on eternity? Because that's really what Jesus is talking about. Are we living in such a way to gratify the desires of now, or are we living in a way that is affecting eternity, that is glorifying God who is eternal, that is making a difference in the lives of people who might be affected for eternity as well? Because when our lives are not about us, they will have an effect that lives beyond us. When our lives are not all about us, then there's an opportunity for our lives, our actions, to have an effect that lasts way beyond us. It's a profound truth. And again, it's the point that we need to remember, in that where we place our treasure, the heart is going to follow. And sometimes we get that backwards and we say, well, if I put my heart in the right place, then the treasure will follow. But Jesus makes it clear that the things that you treasure will be followed by your heart. It's applicable for us as it was then, very much for us today. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and thieves don't break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, your heart will also be. And when we think about it, it's true, isn't it? The things that we value, The things that we hold dear are the things that we're concerned about, right? If I place great value and I'm concerned about my health, then that probably means that I'm gonna be concerned about the food that I eat. If I value an automobile, then I'm getting pretty concerned about that guy that keeps parking really close to me. If I value a certain football team, then maybe I'm concerned about when the preacher is going to be done with this message so that I can watch. If I value a good quality of life when I retire, then I will make plans well in advance of retirement so that I might have that quality of life. If I value friends and family, then I'm concerned when someone does something that would hurt them, or I'm concerned when I realize that I'm not spending time and investing in family and friends the way that I should. If I value the souls and eternities of those who don't know Jesus, who have not heard the name of Jesus, then I will give of my time and treasure until they know. So we must stay concerned about the things that matter. As is often said, keeping the main thing. Amen? Because I think we can agree that it's easy to get distracted and to kind of lose focus on what the main thing is and what's most important. So we need to watch out. We need to be careful. We need to watch for the trap that comes through possessions and status, that comes in our own personal comfort, the trap of prestige or reputation or recognition, because Jesus taught that our heart follows treasure. And he wants us to not have values that are misplaced, because the things that are treasured the most will consume the heart. So Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, he's addressing our mindset and he's addressing our priorities. So the question to consider today is, where are you focusing attention? Because if we follow Christ, it should make sense that our attention and our heart are adjusted toward him and toward the things of heaven, the things that are of eternal importance. Scripture doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Jesus reminds us that heart follows treasure. It follows treasure. And so that brings me to an area that I get to highlight this morning as we talk about heart and treasure and eternity, and that is Speed the Light. That is missions. And that's where what you've been hearing about with Pastor John and his work, what he's been able to get connected with churches in Houston that are making a difference for victims and those affected by the hurricane there, is not just about helping to rebuild or cleaning up areas of destruction, although those are important, but it's about bringing the hope of Jesus Christ into a place, into an opportunity where maybe lives are open like they hadn't been before, right? Because I think we can relate to the idea that when everything has been taken away, when the norm has been disrupted, all of a sudden we are a little more open to God, to things that are of more eternal in their significance. And so that's why efforts like Speed the Light and Convoy of Hope are important, and they're making a difference in the lives of people at times when they are very vulnerable and when they need it the most. Giving to missions isn't just something that we do. It's really who we are as a movement in the Assemblies of God. It's not something just to fulfill a pledge or to reach a goal, but we give to equip messengers who carry the greatest message that breaks chains, that helps the brokenhearted, that helps those who are searching and who are hopeless, who are lost. giving also breaks the hold that stuff can have on our lives. It's about souls saved and lives being changed. It's very interesting to note that as of 2017, over $350 million has been given to Speed the Light worldwide. There have been countless millions of souls saved and lives changed as a result. And this church has been part of that. I know that last year, Mitchell Assembly gave over $1,500 to Speed the Light. There was another $500 more given to BGMC. For over $2,000 in those particular areas given to missions. I received a goal card from your pastor earlier in the year, and the goal for both of those areas for this year is $3,000. And I'm thankful for your involvement in that. And I want to show you an update. Again, this is an area that you're going to see here in this video where Pastor John is assisting and helping. I know that it's been a few weeks, but there is much work that is still being done in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. And I want you to see the difference that efforts like Convoy of Hope are making in Houston through Speed the Light. Go ahead and show that one, Hope. I love what is said there, that your gifts aren't just making a difference in fresh drinking water, although that's important. They're not just making a difference in providing some of the necessities of life, although that's very important, but you're making a difference, a spiritual difference. And at the close of the service, in just a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to give in an offering, and it's going to go toward Convoy of Hope and their continued recovery efforts for Speed the Light. So Speed the Light is helping to spread the hope of Jesus that's found only in Jesus. Because Jesus, really when it comes down to it, as we talk about making a difference for eternity, it's important to realize that Jesus is not a way or the most relevant way or a nice way. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And Jesus instructed believers in his day, and it's still relevant for us today, that the way that we make a difference beyond this time here on earth is that we make investments that will last beyond now and into eternity. Gabe, would you come on back to the keys as we wrap this up? I want to show you one thing before we close here. And my boy Ethan is going to come on up. Come on up, son. Help me out here. Why don't you grab that? Come follow me this way. Why don't you stand right there? Perfect. This is Ethan, everybody. He just turned 8. So Ethan's helping me out, and I want to just help kind of demonstrate this for you. I have a rope, and this is a great illustration that's not mine. It's not original with me. You can check out a great teacher and preacher. His name is Francis Chan, and he did this, and I'm borrowing it from him. So we're gonna pull this. Ethan, grab that. Pull the rope towards you so we can kind of make this tight. Yeah, there we go. So we can kind of give you some perspective here. And I want you to humor me for a moment and imagine that this rope continues out of this room and it goes on and on and on for eternity. This rope represents eternity. And on this end of the rope, all right, hold it right there, son. On this end, there's a section of red that represents our lives. We have our lives in light of eternity. What we do in this red area is significant. And sometimes we can just kind of float through life and hope that we get by and maybe try to do a couple good things or call upon Jesus and be forgiven of our sins and just kind of go on our way. Well, that will make a difference for eternity. For us, I hope to experience eternity with every one of you because of Jesus. But we also have an opportunity in this section of red to do something that would far outlast us, that would go way beyond us. I've heard it said that you never see a U-Haul truck following a hearse to the cemetery. because we can't take it with us. Oh, some have tried. I heard a story about a multimillionaire who got into a fight with his family, and because he was so irritated by something, by a small dispute in their family, he decided to write into his will that the trust would not be distributed upon his death. It would not be distributed until 21 years following the death of the last grandchild. He died some years ago. But he said 21 years after the death of the last grandchild. So there was, I just saw an interview with some of the great-grandchildren who were realizing that they were now going to be inheriting this wealth. And they learned the story behind it. And it caused even more friction and heartache in their family because how this all came about. And I read that and I realized that here was someone who didn't realize that even though he was gone, even though he had control within his life to determine how that inheritance would be distributed, that he's gone. And he had an opportunity to make a difference and chose not to. We have an opportunity during our time on the red. And so the question that I want us to consider in closing is, will we be more worried about the red, or will we be worried about the rest? You see, sometimes we'll even get really concerned about this tiny little section on the end of the red, right? That last maybe 15 or 20 years that everybody tells us is the good life. Like you're gonna work really hard and save up a lot, and then it's really gonna be good. Now listen, I'm not, though I may be 40, and I realize that there may be an opportunity for retirement sometime down the road. I am not saying that we should not plan for those years. But what I am saying is, let's not get so caught up in planning to have a few good years at the very end that we don't ask God and say, what would you have us to do with these years right now to make a difference that could impact all of eternity? So that's the question for us to consider today. Thank you, Ethan. Are we living for the red or for the rest? Because our heart truly does follow the things that we treasure. And so let's worship God through our giving. Let's equip missionaries. Let's find ways to make a difference. Let's proclaim through our lives that Jesus is not just the best way or the preferred way, but He is the only way to experience life with the Father. He is the only way. Ushers, if you would go ahead and make your way forward, we're going to pray. And again, you have an opportunity, and this Pastor John has told me that the entirety of this offering will go toward Convoy of Hope to make a difference for those who are recovering from these disasters. But in doing so, you're not giving just to help and recover from a disaster, but you're giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name to make a difference for eternity. And maybe you haven't come today prepared to give, but I would encourage you to consider this. How might you make a difference in the community, in the school, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in the area where God has placed you? How will we make a difference where God has placed us? In our red, how will we make a difference for the rest? Realizing that we can't lay up treasures on this earth that will last. The Bible says that if you do that, you'll get moth and rust and destruction. That sounds like a good time. But Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. And we can do that in our giving, but we can also do that in sharing, in loving, and reaching out to those that God has placed in our path. Amen. So we're going to pray, and I invite you to give if God enables you to give today. And then we're going to pray and close our time here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the awesome opportunity that we have, Jesus, to give to efforts like Speed the Light and Convoy of Hope that we know are going directly to those who need it the most. But it's not just about humanitarian aid and meeting physical needs, although we know that those are important. But it's also about bringing the hope of eternity to lives that are desperate and searching. We pray that you would use this offering for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning.